Look, it's a flood.
It's a flood.
It's flooding.
Get away.
Quick, we need to get to higher ground.
Open the floodgates.
You take a sound, any sound, record it, and then change its nature by a multiplicity of operations. You record it at different speeds, you play it backwards, you add it to itself over and over again. You adjust filters, echoes, acoustic qualities, you combine segments of magnetic tape. By these means and many others, you can create sounds which no one can.
That's great, it starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes and airplanes, and Lenny Bruce is not afraid. Eye of a hurricane, listen to your health chart. The world needs to be in the mouse knees, speed it up a notch, be grunt, no strength. Speed it up the clatter with the fire and the high down high wire with the fan, and spend it's like your night. It's the end of the world as we know it.
Hey, listen.
It's the end of the world as we know
listen,
it. And my vault's fine.
I didn't think you were gonna make it through that shit. I really didn't.
Oh, I completely botched that.
Make it through that shit.
Team by team reporters baffled, Trump are tethered. I could do it if I was actually listening to the song.
Ayo.
I know Mike Stipe could do it if I was listening to the song.
I know we know Amazon has a good track record when it comes to the kind of content that they put out on their streaming service.
I'm a big fan of The Boys and Invincible, both of which I need to get Doc watching.
I heard Celeburn is like that too. Is that how it's pronounced? I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. But at this point, that has become a trope on this show. And if you're just now tuning in, welcome back.
Welcome back!
Or welcome in general to The Flood with Doc and Ziggy. And we are talking about the latest Amazon Prime Video.
The Apocalypse!
Fallout.
We're talking about the Apocalypse.
Fallout TV show adaptation of the very popular video game series. Would you call it an RPG? Is it?
I would. Based on what I have...
Survival game?
I would call it a first-person RPG.
It is my favorite first-person RPG. One of my favorite
games. I would say it might be
games.
Your favorite game based off of the way you talk about it.
It's definitely, like, up there. It's in my top three. It's, like, right up there with God of War. It's probably, if you go into my PlayStation playtime, it's got... the hours, right? Like, I probably put in the hours in Fallout 3. I probably put in the same amount of hours that you put in for Legend of Zelda
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
I got over 400 hours on Breath of the Wild.
I got a lot of time in on Fallout 3 because it was right around the time where I was doing like the stay at home dad thing. So I was, you know, raising a newborn, and if you've ever raised one of those, they're pretty. That's the easy
part. I babysat some.
Lots of people complain.
Never raised them.
Lots of people complain about the newborn stage because it's a lot of crying and then you got to feed the baby. But if you once you get the pattern down, you can pretty easily.
It's just like it's like a side quest. Like you're just doing your regular thing while like holding a little like 15-pound thing with you.
I wish somebody would have told me earlier, right? I was probably too young, right? Like, my masculinity would have been challenged by the baby harness, but oh my god. Baby harness, OP, right? Like, do not front on that shit. If you really want to get some, like, good game time in while still doing, like, the bonding thing,
guys, you do with the baby harness what I do when I have to use my charcoal face peel, okay? You turn off everything with a camera.
You don't even have to do all that, right? Because you
know, I get really nervous, though, with the charcoal face peel.
But I'm like, you get brownie points for having the baby harness because, like, in this day and age...
You don't get brownie points for the charcoal face peel.
Like with Drake, the bar is set so low for dads that just simply spending time with your kids is looked at as an achievement.
But if I'm doing skincare, I look like a racist.
You won't look like a racist, however, watching Fallout. This much of a pleasant surprise, right? I was pleasantly surprised with it. Did not feel overdone. It did not feel like it missed the mark. Like a lot of, and I hate to dogpile on Marvel the way everybody else is feeling, right? But like,
it's pretty easy to do right now.
But it's because they're like overproduced, right? And it feels like they're trying too hard to pander. I don't want to keep saying things feel like sci-fi shows, but this, I guess it feels a little bit more out of like sci-fi's budget. But this show is great.
I will say, so you're a huge Fallout fan. I've never played Fallout, but I did watch the first episode before we started recording, and I was thoroughly entertained. I thought it was a really cool premise. I thought the whole post-apocalyptic thing was played off really well.
I was gonna say, let me tell you, you don't have to be a Fallout fan to enjoy this show.
That's what I have gathered.
The show
reminds me of Arcane in that perspective, where you don't have to be a fan of League of Legends to enjoy
Arcane.
You
don't have to know anything about the story, because the story is not based on any of the actual video games, right? It is just taking the world that has been built, the lore that has been constructed around the video games, and playing off of that the same way Lovecraft Country did with H.P. Lovecraft.
So, right? From what I can tell is, like, all of the Fallout games take, like, 200 plus years after the events that cause Fallout, and
the Fallout being an apocalypse world-ending event that pretty much culminated in nuclear holocaust.
It gives
a
huge idea or a huge potential for all of this storytelling, because each vault is a self-contained civilization. So you can just start a new game, a new storyline by a different vault who has an entirely different subculture
and
going out into the wild.
There's civilizations that exist within inside the vaults, but there's also a whole cultural culture that has developed on the surface, right? Like, there are people, there's all kinds of new, like, predators that
you
have to
get used
to. How irradiated
is the surface at that point?
In the video games, it's all over the place, right? Like, it depends on, like, where you go to.
Like, how far can
you
go without having power armor on?
So by the time that the show takes place, it's pretty safe to dwell amongst the surface, right? Like, you're exposed to your minimal level of radiation. And don't quote me on this because I'm not a nuclear expert, but I believe that after like 3 to 6 months, most air exposure to radiation has been diminished within like 3 weeks. Right?
I'm putting
like,
the concept of Fallout in my mind relative to what I know of Chernobyl.
So Chernobyl is entirely different because that was like a nuclear reactor. So it's not like a nuclear explosion. There's different. So I'm trying to remember because like
Hiroshima and Nagasaki would be the better comparisons.
Yes. Right,
and those
areas are not necessarily inhabitable now.
I think at this
or
point
not
they are
habitable, but they're close. You can live within close proximity to those areas, but you still can't really like eat anything that's been grown there. Kind of like what's getting ready to happen with the Baltimore Harbor, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Fallout, however, exist in a timeline where most of the huge impacts of the radiation that you would experience would be like mad gone and dissipated by then.
Yeah.
Until you
several
like,
half-lives.
Yeah.
By the way, Gabe, Half-Life 3, still waiting.
I was gonna say maybe not several half-lives, maybe like close to one half-life.
It depends on the particle, but
I believe gamma radiation lasts for quite a long
time. I mean, the Hulk is still alive and kicking, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't give me, this is not the fucking Star Talk, right? I'm not Neil deGrasse Tyson, so don't give me.
I watched his tier list on sci-fi movies earlier this week.
I don't want to know Neil deGrasse Tyson's tier list on sci-fi movies.
Because he put The Matrix in S tier.
I feel like that's pandering. I feel like that's pandering because he literally was on Twitter dissecting Gravity. Right? Like,
he put that in B tier.
But The Matrix is S tier? That's just a movie about being transgender.
Only if you're really good at reading subtext, which, as we've learned over the years, not many people are.
Neither are the Wachowski... Well, I guess the Wachowski sisters.
Siblings. Wachowski siblings. Just to cover all bases.
We're really good at reading subtext, it turns out.
Because they're too good at writing it.
They convinced you all that that movie was about a fucking conspiracy theory that we're all trapped inside of a simulation, but okay. However, as far as adapting a simulated reality into a series, it seems like Amazon Prime has hit it on the fucking nose with Fallout, so much so that it is prompting a discussion on whether or not dropping it all at once was a smart idea.
I saw this discourse earlier this week on the internet, and it was, Fallout is an incredible series, but the attention to it is, well, first of all, flat out overshadowed by Episode 5 of X-Men 97. But the entire series is now dropped, and people have binged it, and the discourse around TV right now is still around Episode 5 of X-Men 97.
So, I stumbled upon a Gizmodo article, right, that was titled, Fallout Makes the Latest Case to Kill the Binge Model, right? And it pretty much just goes into elaborate detail on how the binge model has not been good for TV, especially when you consider the streaming argument, right?
It will gather somebody's attention for a week. It will grab public discourse for a week.
This show is too good for that,
yeah.
Right? The author of the article goes on to talk about the early Netflix Marvel series, right? Luke Cage specifically, right? And how Luke Cage dropped all at once, and they were able to watch it all in one day, and they were left feeling empty, right? Wanting more, right? Because you were able to watch what felt like a masterpiece of television and all in one day, and that's like, it's cheap. And it feels the same way with Fallout, right? Like, these episodes are like an hour long. The first episode is like an hour and fucking 20 minutes or some shit like that. And it just feels like the trend of fucking 10-hour movies disguised as TV series is continuing when this show is so good it deserves better.
I just started writing down shows that deserve or have weekly releases. And all of the ones that I've written down so far have done weekly releases. House of the Dragon. X-Men 97. Invincible. Last of Us. The Boys. Rings of Power. The funny thing is, three of those are Amazon properties.
So, the Gizmodo article goes on to mention how, like you were stating, on the flip side, two of the other biggest shows that are happening right now are Shogun on FX, I believe, and X-Men 97. And both of those shows are released weekly, episode by episode. So people have the time to grow and discuss and foster, like, alright,
let's... Do you know how fucked up everyone would be if X-Men 97 dropped the whole time and we just have to deal with Episode 5 on top of everything else?
Alright, Let's just get into it.
Spoilers are totally fair game. We already talked about episode 5 last season.
By the time this drops, like, you should have been watching episode 5 of X-Men 97. I'm still not okay. Right? Like, I'm still not okay the way Lucy is not going to be okay after cutting off the fucking professor's head. Right? Like, you haven't made it that far yet. Spoiler alert. I'm really not okay.
I cannot feel you.
Bruv, no cartoon has made me feel like that in a really long time, okay? The way.
That, like, sad or that level of emotion?
Both.
Okay, because I would definitely say, like,
both, nigga.
Spy Family has made me feel that level of emotion as far as the excitement and fun.
No.
As far as the, like...
No. There was nothing fun about episode 5 of X-Men 97. Okay? Watching Gambit get cucked was not fun. Watching...
Gambit die!
Was not fun. Watching...
Magneto go full Malcolm X on people.
Watching Jean Grey walk in on Scott having psychic...
Being a total bitch!
First of all, kissing Wolverine, and then walking in on Scott having, like, a whole ass, like, psychic...
Wolverine gets broke
link.
Points, though, because Wolverine was like, nah, Scott and Jean, that's meant to be.
Bullshit. Wolverine is just waiting for his fucking opportunity.
They are really making Wolverine look like a total, like, wimp cuck this season.
I'm sorry. Do you need to go back and watch the original series? Because Wolverine has always been that fucking cuck. Dog. He is all... The whole ass
doing it
meme,
to himself. He's got, like, Silver Samurai and Japan and shit like that.
There's a whole ass meme of this nigga being so thirsty for Jean Grey, even though she is happily content with Scott.
With a child in an alternate reality that may or may not be actually hers. By the way, Jean, why are you mad at Scott? He didn't know any better. Now he just wants to protect his child!
No,
You should understand that!
He knew what he was doing when he was telepathically communicating with Madeline. Bro, let's be real. That shit was so funny.
Telepathically communicating? I thought that was our thing!
That was some fucking tea. Right? Like,
does Stranger Things get dropped weekly? Or has it?
I don't remember.
I don't think Wednesday did either. I think Wednesday just dropped all at once.
And, I mean, where's the discourse? Gone.
It was there for, like, a month, but it wasn't dominating.
All the shows that have dominated have taken the traditional route here.
And X-Men 97.
Gone.
Game of Thrones.
Right.
Shogun. House of Dragon. Invincible.
All gone.
The Boys.
Weekly.
Yep.
Lovecraft Country.
Yep.
Weekly. Right?
Despite I think it's healthy for media, honestly, to do it that way.
It doesn't... I mean, but who does... Yeah, right? Because then we get... I mean, this is the reason why everybody thinks there's nothing to watch on Netflix. Because the second you find something to watch on Netflix...
You can finish it.
I'm currently watching The Fall of the House of Usher, right? And I refuse to binge watch it despite how good it is.
I just have to remember every time you say that title, it's not about Usher.
No, it's about Edgar Allan Poe, which makes it... It's not really about Edgar Allan Poe, but it's, like, based on some writings that he did. Anyway, it's...
The bar that he allegedly had his last drink at is still open.
Somebody drops... What, flowers on this nigga's grave every year and nobody knows who it is?
I mean, if you go to F. Scott Fitzgerald's grave, which is in Gaithersburg, like, you can go there, there's probably a bottle of whiskey, a bunch of money, and a fedora on top of the grave.
Since we're talking about Baltimore, let's talk about... Was it the Key Bridge? It was the Key Bridge.
No.
Right?
Since we're talking about Baltimore, and we've already covered murder, genocide... and drugs and the apocalypse, let's cover poison. So apparently the whole Baltimore Bridge collapse thing with the boat, that boat had a bunch of things with lithium ion batteries that might have gotten into the water.
It was
that
like
fucks up the thing that Maryland is known for, and that is crabs.
It was like 270.
Y'all thought I was gonna say crap, weren't you?
Wasn't
fuck
it
you.
270 tons? No, it wasn't. That can't be right. According to my sources, it was 746 tons of lithium that was on that ship. That's a lot.
That is a lot. I am a thoroughbred Marylander, which is extra saying something considering horses are one of our things. This sucks, because this might fuck up the crabs. And unless you want to get your superpowers with side effects...
Might? Now, there are some people in the comments of the news post that I saw that are saying that, you know, normally crabs aren't even really harvested from that region.
Because
of the Potomac River. Right?
Well, most people know that the Baltimore Harbor itself is like super mega toxic.
Yeah.
Like, that's the harbor in New York in Futurama.
However, I'm seeing reports that the EPA and the NTSB have not stated that any drinking water or seafood will be affected by the toxic materials that were submerged during the crash. And there is no significant evidence allegedly that any harmful chemicals were leaked into the Potomac during the crash.
Right? Allegedly.
But there were some containers that made it overboard from what
you
I
looked
understand.
Wes in the eye. You've looked him in the eye before. Does he look like a liar?
I mean, we're not just talking about Wes, right? We're talking about Brandon Scott, who is facing some pretty stark poll numbers in his race against...
he won pretty overwhelmingly last time. From what I talked to a couple of people who actually live in the city recently, and they were like, yeah, no, we're pretty cool with him. He won pretty overwhelmingly last time.
According to some polls I saw just recently, he's pretty close to Sheila E., though, right? Like, Sheila's pulling in, like, 35, and he's, like, pulling in 38. And there's quite a few undecided people.
Is there a Republican even bothering trying to run?
There's a third candidate running, but his poll numbers were under, like, 10% from what I saw.
So, like, DeRay McKesson's poll number.
Yeah, there's a decent amount of undecided voters, though, that are going to go to the polls.
Baltimore person who would get some votes probably wouldn't win, but definitely deserves a shout-out and recognition, Ta-Nehisi Coates.
I think that Brandon Scott's handling of this incident will decide his outcome come November.
From what I have heard, people are okay with how he's handled it.
I mean, how else do you fucking handle it, though? Like, this is kind of
like this
fucking...
shit just kind of happens, and then people say you're bad at your job because you're born that way.
It's kind of a layup for him, if you think about it, right? Like, the only way he could fuck this up is by handling it poorly. Right, like, getting the bridge back together, point blank period, that's all he has to do, is kind of a way for him to secure
his re-election. And just not completely fuck up the PR, where people are like, Mayor Scott, people don't think you can do this because you're black. And he goes, well, shit, I guess I can't do it because I'm black.
No, he literally has the whole DEI thing going in his favor right now.
I know.
Right? Because there's the whole DEI argument that got tied. Dude, I love, Tony Stadovici's his Instagram reel on this whole Baltimore thing, because it was like, for no reason whatsoever, they were like, well, you know, minorities. And it's like, bro, the ship crashed. It's crazy. there were a couple of other ship crashes that happened that week that were like, this is a little too similar, right? It feels a little too sketchy, right? Like, the whole eclipse happened, y'all sacrificed those red heifers to open up that embassy or that mosque, and now Drake and Kendrick are beefing.
The Key Bridge falling is actually personally affecting me for the first time.
Wow.
Do you want to know how?
Wow, it's personal now. It's personal now.
Yesterday, I got invited to go play a Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament. And I was like, I'm really excited. And then I checked what time that it was going to start. And they were like, this time. And I'm like, I'm not going to get there without the Key Bridge.
Can't make it.
Sorry, guys.
Can't make it.
It was sad. Like, I was actually kind of upset for about 10 minutes.
Damn. Kendrick Lamar face. No, it's wild. But you, I would recommend that you be careful with the seafood that you consume, because I am no Alex Jones, but I will say that
there is some fungus that is making the cicadas gay.
And there is a non-zero chance that you may be affected. No, I'm kidding. There is a non-zero chance, however, that some of that seafood from Baltimore Harbor may be affected, but
the cicadas are also turning gay.
That is 100% confirmed. go ahead.
That's not us being a joke. The cicadas are turning gay.
Trillions of cicadas will emerge across the U.S. this spring in several different states. However, of concern, though, is what has been dubbed zombie cicadas that are infected by a sexually transmitted fungus that makes them hypersexual and apparently homosexual.
Zombie cicadas.
Researchers are saying that cicadas might be able to ignore the fungus that is produced, excuse me. Dude, I'm sorry, it's just hard because I'm like reading this article for the first time and it's fucking hilarious. According to the article, it's like two different breeds of cicadas that are coming out this spring. I'm coming out, coming!
And they've been infected with...
And they want the world to know that they are infected with a fungus called Massifornicina.
Massifora
cicinata. Right,
Massifora cicinata. Okay.
And it's a fungus.
Sounds Japanese.
That molts with inside of them and erupts out their like backside, completely knocking off their genitals. Right, but that does not stop them from trying to get it in. And oh,
that's like a vasectomy
boy,
from the inside out, guys.
Oh boy, do they try to get it in. So much so that males infected with the fungus will pretend to be females so they can still get their jollies off, right?
They can call it the bottom virus.
The bottom, no, that literally, it is like the bottom fungus.
The bottom fungus.
Gross. That's like the second grossest fake disease we've come up with since
one motherfucker is gonna eat one of these cicadas
and get the bottom fungus.
And we're all fucked.
And if they're
literally,
if they're in Baltimore, they might catch that Ripken drip, right?
Throwback.
A chalky white plug erupts out.
Chalky white plug. Go on.
I can't.
Go on. Keep going. Chalky white plug.
What else is there to say, fam?
Go. Chalky white plug.
It is a fungus that makes them want to do what they are already. This is literally like just coke to fucking spring break, right? This is why Miami broke up with spring break, right? And I think it's time.
Because of gay cicadas.
We break up with cicadas.
Gay cicadas is another good one.
And it's not. It's not because of their homosexuality.
It's right? Just like, gay cadus is really funny to say.
We are 100% sex positive.
Say gay cadus and try not to laugh.
This podcast. But what I cannot condone is the willful and just woeful transmission of STDs.
Seriously, gay cadus is really funny.
That's crazy. Bro, hypersexual is a phrase.
Hypersexual gay cadus.
Hypersexual is a phrase that I never thought I would hear in the same like, sentence.
Like, as that gay that cadus. Phrase is reserved for, like, right-wing propaganda.
There's nothing propaganda about this. There will be cicadas this summer. And
there will be gay cadus.
And they will be fucking. Alright? And you just need to get out of the way unless you want to catch the bottom fuckers.
That's move, all I'm bitch! Saying. Get out the way! Get out the way! Psst, get out the way!
That's not what Ludacris meant, but it's what it's going to mean this summer. Also coming this summer. It's like, I don't know. Pause. I don't know if it's dropping this summer, but did you see the trailer for the new Captain America movie?
I did not.
Yeah, no. I've seen some little teaser bits of the Captain America Brave New World trailer. And, you know, I'm sure they've leaked, like, the Drake disc at this point. But
how much do we have to touch up the CGI?
It's already...
Do we have to entirely redo the character like with Sonic?
It's already sparking some controversy because, you know, people weren't gonna handle a black Captain America easily. We already saw with...
That makes him the most blackest Captain America ever.
I have heard that Sebastian Stan is out as Bucky, though, right?
So... I saw that headline... And the way that they phrased it is to be like, oh no, Sebastian Stan is gone. But the way that it actually is, it's like the Winter Soldier himself is taking a break from the storyline.
Right. Oh, okay. So they just don't need him in the following rephasing of the next phase that we're going
through. Yeah, because, you know, comicbook.edu/EU needs to get their clicks.
Ha ha, I see what you did there. I see what you did.
If you get this notification from a Google News alert, it's at least 24 hours old.
So, with that being said, though, don't eat seafood if you live in the DMV anytime soon, or at least not local seafood. It's like, no.
And don't eat people if you're in Sierra Leone.
That could just be propaganda, however, to tank the local Baltimore seafood market and not get Brandon Scott reelected.
So, last thing. How do you feel about Ice Spice in a Spike Lee joint?
So, I saw this trending and I sent it to you, but I didn't get a chance to really look into
it. Ice Spice just reminds me of Scary and Ginger Spice did the fusion dance.
Oh.
So, the Variety exclusive headline, Ice Spice set to appear in Spike Lee's High and Low with Denzel Washington.
Right. So, the headline alone is enough to make you at least, like, stop scrolling for a second and go, how the fuck did Ice Spice land a movie with Denzel Washington?
The first paragraph will get you even more interested.
Oh, alright.
Ice Spice is set to appear in Spike Lee's upcoming English language reinterpretation of the Akira Kurosawa crime thriller High and Low.
So Spike is trying his hand at some classic Japanese cinema, right? Like, okay, alright, and we're doing it Denzel Washington and Ice Spice style. Alright, so this is giving me like Bodyguard feels, right? Is that what we're looking at here?
So the project is the fifth collaboration between Denzel and Spike, and their first since 2006 Inside Man. I fucking love that. The feature will be produced by Todd Black from the Emancipation and the Equalizer films.
Okay.
For Escape Artist and Jason Michael Berman from Air and 9 Days for Mandalay Pictures. Lee will also serve as an executive producer through his 40 Acres and a Mule Filmworks. Well, Spike.
So, do we know how significant of a role Ice Spice will play alongside? I guess that depends on
not
if you've
yet,
seen
but Kurosawa's original film titled King's Ransom was released in 1963, starring Toshiro Mifune, based on an Ed McBain novel.
Damn. Okay. All right.
And it tells the story of a businessman's ruin following a ransom payment to kidnappers.
Interesting.
And that is pretty much all the information we have about that. And all I think the Ice Spice thing is a clickbait, where the more interesting thing is Spike Lee is doing an Akira Kurosawa film.
Right. Like, that's the real headline there, right? Like, is Spike Lee is doing an interpretation of an Akira Kurosawa film.
Yes.
And in order to get people to come see it, we have to tell them that Ice Spice is in it. I don't know what that says.
Ice Spice looks like Scary and Ginger Spice had a baby.
Oh my God. You gotta let it go. You gotta let it go, bro. Because, like, at this point, I'm a little concerned with the fact that the only way we could get people to see a Spike Lee and Denzel film is by telling them that Ice Spice is in it, and that's just more proof that
none of this is normal. But what should be normal is buying all of your Yu-Gi-Oh! Pokemon Magic the Gathering Flesh and Blood board games and card game supplies at tokenmtg.com and use the promo code Ziggy to get 10% off of your order.
And what else should be normal is following us at the Flood Pod on everything.
And that is on
everything. And we will be back at you guys just like normal next week with more hot takes.
Deuces!
Go Celtics!
Look, it's a flood!
It's a flood.
It's flooding!
Get away!
Quick, we need to get to higher ground.
Open the floodgates.
Talk about
it is time to